We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'd like to share on the subject of faithfulness, or faithful. But before I do, I thought I'd give you a little info concerning our house. Because this house has served us so well for us to be able to do what we do with one another. And so, I may just read it, and if I get a little weepy, that's okay. So, 30 years ago, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we moved into this house. We had we had five kids from 12 years old to 2 years old, and we were 37 years old.
Wow.
And had been overseeing the fellowship by that point 18 years. It was in my heart to build this house so that we can serve God's people better. A place where believers could learn God's word, get loved up, refreshed, and blessed. When I designed it, there were three major premises. Number one, that the house was for our family to live in. It would be our home to function from day to day. Number two, it would be a place where we can minister the word of God on a fellowship level. And number three, a house for larger gatherings to minister God's grace, love, and goodness.
Right inside of your lip.
Besides regular fellowships, we've had many children's fellowships, children camps, children weekends, teen fellowship, teen camps, teen weekend, statewide fellowship coordinators, regular fellowship coordinators, many Bible classes, whether they were live or pre-recorded, many sleepovers for weekends over extended weekends, many parties, dinners, special events, sadly, two memorial services, happily, three weddings, whole families living in the basement for extended periods of time. including some of our kids. You know, we had David and Katie for 2 years, and Katie and Richard for 2 years. She had two of her boys here. and it all started the Saturday that we moved in. So many believers in the area at the time helped us move in. Some of you are here. Perry brought a big box truck, and whoever had a pickup truck brought a pickup truck. And we moved, we looked like the Beverly Hillbillies, the Clampets, the Beverly Hillbillies moving in. And it was a fun day. And it was around 5 o'clock-ish or so. And the last person left the front door, and immediately the back door opened, and the Grand Champs had come in and said, "We're here." And that was our first guest in our house. It was quite wonderful. It took 15 months to build. That's our friendly woodpecker out there. I got to let him know he's got to pay the rent relief.
You have to tell him to work on the doves.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
So, but that was a wonderful time. We've endeavored to have a place where the love of God was present. That people's lives were strengthened and blessed, comforted and healed by being here. Then there's my wonderful wife, who made the house into a home, the guardian and caretaker of it. She has worked diligently to keep a peaceful and loving atmosphere. She's always there, standing at the door of fellowship, to greet, to love, to bless each person. As the gatekeeper, not only to bless, but to protect and guard. Sometimes people have come in with devilish influences and she would diffuse it right away so it didn't affect others. So after 30 years, my assessment is that it has been a house and home that God put in our hearts. It has served its purpose as an oasis for God's people. So, of course, it would never be possible without the love of God that lives in each person here and the many people that have come. Because it's a body of Christ, not two people living in a house. So with that, I'd like to share on faithfulness. Because we are faithful. We all are faithful to God and His Word. So, verse 9. Well, I wanted to say that our fellowship is what it is because of your personal faithfulness to God, to God's Word, and to God's people. The love that we have in this fellowship is because each person does love with the love of God. It's got a lot of forgiveness because people live with forgiveness in their lives. It has a lot of knowledge and wisdom because of the knowledge and wisdom that's carried in the lives of people here. You can go on and on and on. It is what it is because of all of us and what we've contributed and do contribute. The joy, the great giving, the serving. It's just wonderful. Our prayers for one another. The healings and miracles that have happened in our fellowship through the years. Is there anybody in this fellowship that has not gotten healed in the past 30 years because of their involvement with God's Word? So, you know, and it also, the body of Christ is, there are two examples that God gives to illustrate the body of Christ. One is the human body and the other is a marriage. And a marriage wouldn't be sweet if both parties weren't sweet on each other. A marriage wouldn't be loving if they weren't loving with each other. If there was no forgiveness in that marriage, it wouldn't last very long. There's a lot of factors. So fellowship is an extension of those same principles. And one big thing for all that to work is faithfulness. And in verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. No new news to us, but it's certainly good to always read. The word faithful is actually the Greek word pistis that we're familiar with. The words faith and believing or believe are translated from that word. A little nuance that I'm not going to get into. If it's in the passive sense, like one type of meaning. If it's in the active sense, it's got another. When it's in the passive, pistis can be translated as worthy of confidence, reliable, sure, firm, certain, trusty. Not dust, trusty. And that God is all those characteristics. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. You know, they say, it sort of works, if you really think you're going to get emotional on something in the presentation, you should present it by yourself till you get all your crying out, so that by the time you go to do it, it's there. But I didn't know I was going to do it, so time wasn't available. So, but I did bring my little paper. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. He wants to keep His covenant with all people, but it turns out only those that love Him are interested in that covenant. So it's hard to keep something if the other person's not interested. He'll still be available, but it's hard to fulfill it. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Just going to look a little bit about God and His faithfulness. Verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Verse 2. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Verse 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer or allow my faithfulness to fail. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We benefit, obviously, from God's faithfulness to His Word and to His people, to His creation. If it wasn't for Him, we'd be in a sorry state. Chapter 10, verse 13. It's one of the things, this is going to show one of the things that He does. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God's faithful in keeping that our lives from getting wiped off the map, so to speak. You know, he's faithful to it. Thank God for that. That's one of the benefits of His faithfulness to us. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That's a pretty good benefit of enjoying God's faithfulness to our lives. He'll establish our lives. He'll keep us from evil. If the devil was able to do whatever he wanted to God's people without God's intercession and wall of blocking a lot of junk out, the world would not be the way it is. You know, it talks about it in Revelation that when Mary was pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that he tried to, you know, kill the baby in the womb type of thing. He was after the Lord Jesus Christ immediately, but he was not able to do it. God would not allow him to do it. Hebrews chapter 10. So how much evil would we be faced up against? Hebrews chapter 10. His faithfulness to us is incredible. Chapter 10, verse 23. Let us... You know, that's a vegetable, right? Okay. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith or believing without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful to his promises. There are over 900 of them in the scriptures. We know a few of them. But one thing we know is he's faithful to them. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Another thing is we are to recognize God as being faithful. God wants us to recognize that He is faithful. And somewhere along the line when we first started learning the Bible, whether we were a little kid or whether we were, you know, an adult and just finally looking at the Bible, there came a point where we recognized, you know, God not only has these promises for us, but he's faithful to them. He really is. You may know somebody that you ask them to do something and they don't do it, and then you ask them again and they don't do it, and you ask them 25 more times and they don't do it. You kind of get the sense that maybe there's not a faithfulness, at least to that particular request. I'm not giving any husband-wife scenario, just to be clear. Hebrews chapter 11, but we should have recognized God's being faithful. Chapter 11, verse 11, a great example. We talked about this, I think, last week or the week before. Sarah, Abraham's wife, through believing, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She was 90 years old. She was beyond the age of childbearing. She actually never, as you know, never had a child. She was barren all her life. She received that strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. He is faithful to his promises, and she recognized that, and that's what she hung her hat on, so to speak, of believing that if he says, I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to have a baby. And that was that for her. She judged him faithful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Another thing is, God's people are to be faithful. He expects his people to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, we're to be imitators of God, as it talks about in Corinthians. Well, faithfulness is one of them. It's the characteristic he would like us to be faithful. Chapter 4, and this is referring to ministers, a requirement that God has for his people who have decided they want to serve in the body of Christ. Verse 1, let no man so account of us.
Amen.
Oh, you're right. Amen. Let a man. Sorry. Thanks, John. And that wasn't a trick. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Just one of the requirements of doing the job of being a steward, whether it's physical, business, or the things of God, the mysteries of God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Back there again, Hebrews 3. Moses was faithful. We know a lot about Moses' life and what he did. Of course, it was easy for him because he was born perfect and had no problems, no issues. You know, he could talk really well and he just knew everything. So it was like a walk in the park. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as, and that's referring to the high priest, which would be Jesus Christ, who was faithful. He's comparing Jesus Christ with Moses here. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was faithful. These are God's people, and God wants his people to be faithful. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. As we know, he was a murderer of believers. He ravaged the church. He did everything he could to stop the movement of God's word and his purposes. And one day he woke up And then he switched directions, and God knew he was a man that would be faithful, and he put him in the ministry and said, this is what you're going to do. And he did it. Stayed faithful to it all his life. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 21. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, but his name. It says, Ephesians 6:21. But after that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. He was a faithful man, and he understood what Paul was doing. He understood the heart of God, the heart of Paul, and he communicated that to the Ephesians. He was a faithful fella. If his name was pronounced Tychicus, what do you think they probably called him? Tick. Right? And he was on time a lot.
Oh, no.
Talk? All right, anyway. Okay, let's move on. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1.
I have to write that one down.
Colossians chapter 1.
Yes.
Verse 7. Another faithful man that served God's people in that day and time. 1:7 says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. That man just served God's people in the city of Colossae, and most likely other areas as well. He was a wonderful lover of God and his people. Let's go to chapter 4 of Colossians. Verse 12 continues a little more information about him. Chapter 4, verse 11 says, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. And Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So one of the things that he was faithful in doing was praying for God's people, that they would stay standing on God's word, you know, to do the will of God. Because sometimes, you know, we're heading in the wrong direction, and prayer of other people can help us to self-correct if nobody says anything to us. But the prayers of people, the faithful prayers of people, I don't think it's measurable. I really don't know how anybody could measure it. But just like this, pray. And a lot of you are very faithful. It's not my long suit. God certainly has covered my life and ability to help people, because it's just not my long suit. But there are people in this fellowship that are just tremendous faithful prayers. A lot of you. I don't know, maybe all of you. Maybe I'm the only one. But I pray all the time. I just don't. That's not my long suit. But and he was doing this so that they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That they could do what God wants them to do. Let's go to Psalm 31. We're going to look at some of the benefits of being faithful. Psalm 31. Some of the benefits. These are the the bennies. Psalm 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. You know, he preserves the faithful, keeps us alive, keeps us going, keeps us whatever it is that we need. He does that for his people who are faithful to him. Chapter 13. Psalm 101. I'm jumping ahead here. Psalm 101. Verse 6. Similar thing. Verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way shall serve me. So he's got his eyes on those who are faithful to him. sometimes we'll, you know, when our kids were younger, maybe we would entrust our kids for a few hours, or the wife would entrust the husband, the dad, with the kids, keep an eye on them. Sometimes that doesn't happen too well. You know, they kind of wander and you don't know it yet. But God, who is perfect, when his eyes are on the faithful, his eyes don't leave them. Sometimes we fail in that area, you know, but not God. So that's a benefit to us. We got God Almighty's eyeballs looking right at us. Proverbs chapter 11. You know, he's looking out for us. Why he can say sometimes, don't go down that way. That's not a good one. Chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. And that's somebody who just talks a lot about junk about a lot of other people and stirs strife up and stirs this up. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Faithfulness will get you to recognize the love of God. The love of God will get you to say, all right, I'm just not going to say anything. There's no profit. But a talebearer will just flab it. Chapter 25, verse 13. These are characteristics of faithfulness. Chapter 25, verse 13. I don't know understand the first part. It says, as cold of snow in the time of harvest, which there's got to be a reason why that's a good thing, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whatever it is, it's a good thing. And chapter 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Boy, isn't that a wonderful characteristic. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And lastly, we're going to 3 John. Many of us can quote 3 John 2, you know. However, they wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. This was an epistle written by the Apostle John, and it was written to a man named Gaius. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne or made witness of the charity or love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So this man Gaius was a faithful man, and he, whatever he did it faithfully, and it was a refreshment to the believers that he was around. And that's really how our lives are. We are a refreshment to one another, to God's people. And our lives aren't perfect. That's pretty obvious. But we really are wonderful. And how sweet it is to be in a fellowship with wonderful believers that love God. And we encourage one another, and we keep fighting for one another. And we pray for one another when there's a need. We pray for one another when there isn't a need. And we all have different long suits. And when you blend it all together, it's like our hand. You know, if we just had our pinky, you wouldn't be able to use your middle finger for certain things, right? You'd have to go like this, and you're like, huh? Is that all you got there? Or if it was just this finger, all you'd be doing is pointing to that, you know, whatever. But you need all fingers, even though these four seem like they're all the same, they really aren't. When you try to work without two of your fingers, it gets difficult, especially if you don't have your thumb. Or if you just had your thumbs, you'd be called all thumbs, right? So, but they all have a function. And the little, I was talking to Terry last night about, every once in a while I think about the, in light of this, in baseball, and I'm not a big baseball person, but they hire these pitchers, and they're very well trained, but there's a certain pitcher, Ruben, Donnie, and some of the other guys that love baseball will know, they're called closers. And they're there just to get the last out or two of the game. They're close, they're a little ahead, they just don't need any problems. They just got to get those two guys out, and we're good. And you're the guy that's going to go do it. The whole game, he sits there on the bench, twiddling his thumbs and whatever, if he had them. But when he's called, and it could sometimes, I think it sometimes is just for a couple strikes. You're just there to blast those two guys out, or that one guy, for that last strike. And that guy is just as important as the catcher who's there every pitch. Every pitch. He knows every batter comes up. He knows where the ball's going. He's following. He's like the engineer of the whole thing. But he's no more important than that guy that may just throw five balls. Or the five ball guy is no less important than the guy that threw every ball in the game. Isn't that interesting how that worked? And that's how the body of Christ is. In the sense that it may be a function in the body of Christ that doesn't come up much. But when it's needed, there it is. You know, there's a prophet, Agabus, who in Acts 20-something, Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, remember? And God had showed him very clearly many times, don't go to Jerusalem. It's not going to be well for you. And he's en route, and God sends Agabus and puts his girdle around him and wraps him up and tells him something. And that was what he was supposed to do. He lived near Jerusalem. Where not, you know, a lot of religion, but that's where God wanted him, and he spoke that. Now, had Paul heeded to that, you know, it would have been much better. But that was his job. Boom. And he did it. So, we just have to recognize that whatever it is that we're supposed to do, that we just faithfully do it.